Should we try? See if the volume is okay. Yeah, it's okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today just to into your presence. We ask you, Lord, that your anointing, your power, Lord, your presence may be with us. You may guide us, empower us, strengthen us, enable us, Lord, to communicate the things that I believe you want us to share today. We just praise you and thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Thank you for your truth that set us free. We just praise and thank you, Lord, and open ourselves up to you, Lord, to minister life and victory in this time, which is so much needed. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for the thing you're going to do in this time we are together. Anyone that is here watching YouTube, anyone that is seeing this video, Lord, quicken them. Lord, just that your presence may be touching them and giving them a breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was thinking of just changing topic this week. I just couldn't. I tried to start, but the Spirit keep working on me and blocking me from continuing. And so finally, I said, what's going on? What's happening here? And definitely, what they got is people need grounding. People need stability. People need ministering against the waves that are here in the world today that are confusing, fearful, just getting in the wrong thing instead of receiving new strength. So I said, okay, and I started to go back to some of the things that I was looking at in the last few weeks. And the idea is to make sure that you understand, that you realize what's happening and the implications that that has with the things that we had to feel, the things we had to do, the things we had to be open to. You know, let's start back with some of the basic principles that we saw. You know, spiritual world is real as the physical world. But they are parallel. Those are parallel worlds. What happened in one, there is a parallel taking place in the other. All truth is parallel. And what happened now physically is also happening in the heavenly realm. We had to realize that. We had to realize that things are taking place there. They just are just as drastic, just as powerful, more powerful than the things we see here. You know, the other thing that we had to remember, we had to understand, and we had to practically apply to ourselves, that the way God works is by cycles. There are cycles taking place. They repeat themselves with similarity, the parallel between one cycle and another, and help us to understand what's happening and to understand where we are moving to. Praise the Lord. Nothing happened by chance. God has established everything from the beginning. He knows things, and His plan is perfect. He's been there from the very beginning, and slowly is taking place. As we are limited in time to a very short period for our life. You know, we sometimes we cannot see the overall picture. It's like we are lost in the forest. We can just see the tree. But God can see the whole thing, and can, the perspective is very different. We have to learn to see things from God's perspective, or God's plan. We have to have ear to ear and eyes to see. This is what makes a difference in our life and in the life of those we come in contact with. Today, more than ever, people need direction. People need understanding. The devil knows how to keep people busy with things that are completely useless, things that have no effect, but they keep you there so that you are not really taking the steps that you should be taking, that you put the focus on the things that makes a difference, that can make a difference between life and death, between victory and defeat. We have to understand that and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to guide us, and to help us to keep the focus, our attention on what is essential and what is important, instead of the things that really are good today because may attract our attention but they're useless tomorrow. So we need to understand the events, the situations, and we have to see the parallel to be able to go beyond the momentum that was happening now at this very moment, and to see things from a different perspective. So let's go back a moment. We talked about the Passover that we went through last time, and the Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. Well, I want to say something else about that. Our Passover started Easter this time. When I say our Passover, it's because it wasn't a Passover as usual. See, if you remember, that was the first time we came and did a service online. And we had a communion service as a first service that we have for Easter. This was the first time ever, I think, that anybody had a Passover feast celebrated inside their houses. You were in your house, I was in mine, but we were together. And we partook the blood and the body of Christ, appropriating everything that you had done that day, 2,000 years ago. Praise God. You know, it's powerful when we understand and know what we are doing, that it's not just a physical thing. We are not in the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. We need to understand things, because all the things in the past were just symbol or type of what was already taking place later on. And what today we look back and we relive as a remembrance, as a memory for us. That was the first Passover that took place, that exactly the same as the one we took this year. When the first Passover took place in Egypt, they all were in their houses locked down. And the angel of death passed over them and did not touch any. Well, all the Egyptians were dying. The children, the firstborn of the Egyptian, were dying and couldn't do anything about it. So what I'm saying here is we had to realize and appropriate what really Jesus' Passover meant for us, and start living in the deliverance from the angel of death. Start living in the reality of our victory over sickness and disease. God wants us to experience what Jesus did in our body today, because nothing has changed. His blood is still fresh today, and is before the Father on the throne for us, interceding for us. Hallelujah. You know, God, the way He works, everything that He does is organized, is planned, is specific. There is always a pattern in everything He does. And the pattern is repeated in different cycles. See, we need to understand the pattern. We need to apply the pattern. And we need to appropriate the pattern. That one makes a difference. This is what makes us be able to receive the things, not just because of the physical thing. The physical things are just a reminder for us. We had to live that in our spiritual man. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, where it describes the Passover there, it says, "And thus you shall eat the roasted lamb that they had to prepare, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." I mean, this is so significant. You know, weren't there just having a meal. They were ready to leave before there was any evidence. I mean, before there was any evidence that they could leave. But they had to be completely ready. Their belt on, their sandals on, their stick, their stuff in their hand, everything ready to go. Indeed, prepared. When we apply God's, that was the direction. You see, this is the pattern. This is the thing that we should learn to do, to follow. You know, anything in the Old Testament that God ordained had to be followed to the letter. If you would do anything different, you would break the pattern and you'll get nothing. Today, people, you know, when they take communion, they're not prepared to get what the results that have been promised concerning that. Well, and they get nothing. See, when we are ready, that means, you know, that we are spiritually prepared, that we are ready to take what was ours, that we believe that what we are doing is everything that we need to do, because that God said in His Word. Are you following me? You should understand that. You should do something. You cannot be passive and receive anything from God. God expects your cooperation, your participation, your faith to be put to work, to activate what is in your spirit and manifest it in a world around you. Hallelujah. See, they were ready to leave Egypt. Ready. And they left Egypt just after. Not only that, but they left with the money of and the gold and the silver of the Egyptians. See, they were afraid of them. The Egyptians were afraid of them, because they saw the difference. They, people in the world, should see the difference in us. Should understand that what we got, they need. It's not by oratorial discussions or smart arguments that we are going to convince the world. Is by the power and the anointing of God supernaturally performing the things that we can do, that Jesus could, would, and did do in the past. Hallelujah. You see, Israel left Egypt that day. But we had to remember one thing. We had to learn. See, everything. You had to realize everything that day in their life changed. Everything. They weren't anymore there. They were traveling. They were going to the promised land. They wanted to return to Egypt. And God, and they prayed for 400 years that something would happen. And they were waiting till God in His goodness sent Moses to them, who took the initiative and took the leadership to take them out. We need people today that take the initiative to lead His people out from Egypt. And I believe that day, last Passover, something took place. You may not have realized that. You may say, just another Easter, only you had it on Zoom meeting. I believe we left Egypt that day. And just like for Israel, things are never going to be the same anymore. Things have changed. The world has changed. Because we received a revelation of what God was doing in that day that was different from all the other time. And as we receive the revelation, is not enough. They had to pick up their stuff and go. We had to pick up our stuff and go. And we had to learn from Israel not to make the same mistakes that they made 40 years they were in the desert. And why are they 40 years? They could have gone there in 40 days. It took them 40 years because they missed it over and over again. Because they kept looking at the wilderness they were in. They kept complaining about the things that they didn't have, that they had maybe in Egypt. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. Are we doing the same? Are we limiting the Holy One of Israel the way they did it? You know, God was really upset with them. Was upset because they limited him in what he could do. Upset because they were complaining. There was nothing more that turned God off than people complaining about the manna that he was providing. Hello? Are we complaining? See, that's what triggered God's judgment in those days. Don't fear whatever is going on today. Don't be affected by whatever everybody says. God is with you the same way as He was with Israel, probably even more if you are born again, believer, and if you trust in Him. They didn't trust in God. I mean, they just because had Moses leading them, they were following him, dragging their feet. We should rejoice that the price is paid and we can leave the world behind. See, that's what God is trying to tell us this day, at this season. We have to leave Egypt behind. Egypt is going to keep us bound. Egypt is going to keep us in slavery. We need to walk free. God wants us to walk free. God wants us to walk in His miraculous power. There was a column of fire following them at night, and a cloud coming with them day so that they wouldn't be burning in the sun. This is the experience that we should have. We should be able to walk with God's presence following us wherever we go if we just leave Egypt behind. That's the big issue. That's the big difference. And instead of looking back, be like Caleb and Joshua, they said, when they saw the giant in that, they was, oh, this is difficult to do. We can certainly do it. God said it, we will do it. God is expecting nothing less than that from us. Actually, he should expect more. He should expect more because he is inside us to guide us. We don't need Moses to go ahead of us, to tell us what to do. The Holy Spirit himself is within us to guide us. If instead of looking at the circumstances, instead of listening to the news, instead of reading the newspaper, instead of believing what everybody believes, we start believing his word. You know, we realize it or not, you like it or not, is the time in which Egypt has to be left behind. We, at the moment, are in the wilderness. And we are moving to the promised land. A new era is beginning. A new era in which everything that was before is different. So don't start reminiscing about stuff and wishing you were doing the same thing. Because those things needed to be changed. God is doing a job in the world to change things the way they should be. Or at least for some people to change them, and then for the others. See, we are on the road to the promised land. And something happening, is God doing it? There is no way. When something is of the global dimension of today, has to be God. What do we have to do? Don't fall in the same mistake that Israel fell into. Praise God. You know, start trusting God. Put your trust in him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Who shall I fear? You can stand on that truth and not be moved. You know, it's about 30 or more years that I have seen this happening. And I've been announcing it. I was saying, it's coming, it's coming. I wasn't quite there, but now it's here. A new age. This is not just a new decade, you know, in the 20s, the 30s. No, no, this is a completely new age. And the whole thing started around the year 2000. You know, the things that change in the world, spirit world, the evidence and the transformation in the spiritual world, it takes time to be manifested. Because the world has to adjust to it. I'm saying now, you know, the global shaking that is taking place is an evidence that the transition to a new situation, to a new age, to a new things is happening today. And some major events are taking place in the heavenly realm. And they are manifested in the physical. There is angelic activity, and I'm not going to go into so much on the detail on that for the moment. But there is a spiritual war in the heaven against darkness from the light. And this is manifested in the physical. As I said before, all truth is parallel. The things that happen in the spirit realm, they are a reflection in the physical realm. You know, in the physical realm, the level of nature. I mean, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, famine, atmospheric disturbances, everything you can see it today is accelerating. Other way, politically, riots, political unrest, physical conflict everywhere. The world economy is going crazy. We can know, don't know what happened. The economists, they think they can control it. Like all the other things, they're fooling themselves. They have absolutely no control whatsoever. The one and no things are the laws that God has put in place anyway that we don't, they don't know. Hallelujah. See, values are clashing and changing today. The church itself is being shaken. See, religious institutions, denominations, even the family has been shaken this day. There is nothing attacked more than even that unit that God created. We are moving, the world is moving against God's laws. I mean, even personal identity people don't know anymore what it is. What's going on? This is completely unnatural. It's completely breaking all the principles and the laws that God has made. I mean, we had to realize that this is not a plain matter. It's not just something's happening. This is much more. There is darkness spreading. But with darkness, grace is more abundant. And we had to understand that and make a choice. Which side are we in? Praise the Lord. See, pandemic is one of the things that attached all the nations in the world. Don't tell me this is just coincidence. People have been saying there was something like that was going to happen for some time. Because even in the physical world, even the people in the world see that something is going amiss here. People are confused, distracted, blinded. This is Satan's strategy. Afraid, caught up into things that are completely unimportant. See, what we are facing is the end of the time of the Gentile. And this happens just before the second coming of Christ in Jesus, in Bible prophecies. See, I want to show another parallel that is so important and give us another indication of what we are talking about. You see, the first coming of Jesus was characterized by peace in the well-known world. And Jesus came because he was in peace as a lamb. He came bringing grace to the peaceful situation. But even then was not recognized. But it started something there. Today, the second coming is characterized by wars and turmoil and atrocities going on, everything that you can think. And Christ is not coming back as a lamb, but as a lion to put things in place, to bring judgment on the world. See, everything lines up according to the need of the time. Now, I want to just say some things because we have to understand how these things happen. You know, changes, I mean, when you pass through from one age to another, it just doesn't happen, boom. You know, like people say, well, you know, the rapture, one day, boom, we are going to be gone. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the way things happen generally. There is always a preparation. If we look at the situation in the world today, you know, things started just even before year 2000. You know, there is impacting event today, you know, that involves different things. For example, technological innovations, wars, social changes, social engineering that people try to do. trying to tell God how to put things in order. And natural things, disaster and things that happen in the world. All these things are a manifestation of this changing that take place, and they have an impact on the world situation. So you see, the first things really that I want to go back to was 1983, when the cell phone was starting to be public. You know, all these things are impacting the world today. And I'm not going to go through all the detail because there are far too many. But I want to just stress some. You know, in 1985, the internet started. That was a critical thing because it's changed everything in the world. At the same time, space travel, you know, starting to bloom. And you know what happened at that time in 85? You know, the first space, major impact, you know, in the development of having people in the space travel in the space station in the heaven. Then in 90, Google was established. That is a major organization that has enormous impact on the way things go today. 2000, everybody was concerned what was going to be and everything else, but those, you know, people were concerned about the wrong thing. What happened, there was a major impact was the Wi-Fi started. And it increased since then. And before it was maybe not a major problem, but today it's creating more and more problems, if you realize it or not, affecting even our system. In 2001, in the Netherlands, was the first nation in which same-sex marriage was allowed legally. That was a critical time of rejecting God's principle and accepting other ideas that was definitely contrary to God's direction in the world. Now things have evolved from there. We are much farther than that, but that was the first nation. You see, you need a beginning to move on. 2002, the smartphone started. 2004, LinkedIn and Skype started. All these things have an impact. 2004, Facebook. Praise God. No, you can say, well, Facebook, big deal. How much time people spend today looking at Facebook instead of doing something that's much more constructive? You know, the 70% of the people spending time on Facebook end up being depressed. I mean, if the devil wanted to spread depression among the people, the only thing they had to do is to develop Facebook. At the same time, Skype started, I said in 2004. And at that year, there was an Indian Ocean earthquake that destroyed or killed 230,000 people as a result of it. I mean, talking about earthquakes and wars the way Jesus described them. Absolutely, these are increasing in frequency and intensity. 2007, live streaming, 2012, you know, people were thinking about that was the end of the world because the Mayan calendar ended there. They were all disappointed. These people just are caught up by stories, tales. What I'm saying is this, that things are evolving. When things change, when there is a transition from one era to another, things change and the transition happen at a faster and faster rate and with greater impact. See, today, all the things have evident a global impact. No matter many of these things I'm talking about, they touch the whole world. See, The Bible talks very clearly of the end day. There's going to be a shaking taking place. And we have to understand what that means. You know, if you go in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For thus says the Lord, host, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." I mean, up to now, that never happened before in this age. "And they shall come to the desire of the nation." You know, people say, what's the desire of the nation? Well, there is only one desire of the nation. It's the Messiah. We need the Savior. See, after that, this is going to be the result of the shaking. I mean, that was written long time ago. "And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of Lords." That's talking about the millennium. He's talking about after all the mess is cleaned up, after Jesus come back the second time. This was written, this prophecy was written 520 years before Christ by a small prophet from a remnant after 70 years of captivity in the exile of Babylon. See, and the whole message of his prophecy, a small book, was that God demands first place in our life. I mean, that applies today 100%. And the way he was speaking applies today in 100%. All the prophets related or trying to were moved by the things that were going on at that time. But there is a beyond the time dimension in what they say, because God was showing this according to the pattern that I've been talking about, according to the cycles that repeat themselves, so that the prophecy that was written and spoken 520 years before Christ may apply in 2020. Hallelujah. Most of the other prophecy work the same. Praise the Lord. We had to realize that God knows what he's doing. That God has organized everything before. He's lost and in operation. He doesn't even need to intervene. But he uses his prophets to speak out the truth, so the people of the time come to the place of repentance, come to the place of changing, come to the place of seeking his face and trusting him instead of trusting in the worldly things, because there is no salvation in them. I want to read this brought back more recently in Hebrew, chapter 12, verse 18. It says, "For you have not come to the mountain that will be touched and burn with fire, to blackness, darkness, and tempest." Here he's referring to when God gave the law to Moses and Israel, and he was speaking from the mountain, and things were going on, and evidently the people were reacting and afraid of what's going on. In Exodus chapter 19 and 20, you can go, I suggest that you go and read that, and try to get understanding of what was going on, because it applies today. The same shaking is going on. The same darkness is moving around. "And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words." Now, I mean, slow down here. I mean, this is an announcement. You know, the trumpet. Ta-da! Watch it. Attention. Don't get distracted. I think the events that took place recently should be a good trumpet for us to listen to. "And the voice of words." The voice of words could be translated also the noise of words. And the words there is rhema. God speaking to us. See, God is speaking to us with his rhema, to each one of us, to give us direction. He's talking to us to say, do this, not the other things. Follow me, not the old world. And you can see the darkness and the tempest around us. Okay, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. And there the word instead of rhema is logos. They didn't want to get exposed to even that. Just didn't, don't let God talk to me. That's a really smart way. You know, it's like putting the head in the sand and says, don't tell me there is a lion here. I'm going to not to look at there. I'm going to just ignore it, and it's going to disappear. Well, sure is. God's thoughts come as a result of us hearing his rhema. We cannot get God's principle working in our life if we are not open to hear to his rhema. Israel was always playing that game. Don't tell me, just give me the law, just I'm follow the law. Physically, I don't want to have anything to do with the spiritual component. Well, that didn't get them saved. Verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And this is, you know, if you go and read Exodus, really, it's not just the beast, it's anybody that touched the mountain. Because they were unclean, they will be destroyed. See, but if they listen to the voice of the rhema, they will not be unclean because they will be doing the right thing. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. See, that's the thing that some people feel today in the world. They are confused. They are afraid. Even some believers. Do they know the power of God is available to them? Do they know that our God never leave us nor forsake us? Hallelujah. Let me continue on verse 22. You see, there is a new reality that we live in. We are not, it says, you know, we are not to the mountains where that took place anymore. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly place and heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You see, what he's talking to us about here is clearly that it is not just a physical thing that's happening. I mean, there are angelic beings in operation. There is heavenly fight going on in the spirit world. And we are right in the middle of that. See, the book of Daniel talks about that, how there is always a parallel between the physical and the spiritual, and we have to be aware of this reality of that. You know, it reminds me of the story with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, when, the people were trying to kill Elijah. And, they surrounded the place with chariots. And the servant woke up in the morning and were afraid. And the servant said to the seeing the Syrian army around, says, they're going to come here to kill you. And Elisha woke up, looked at the servant that was not completely moved, not moved at all. And said, not pray to God to open his eyes so that we may see that there were more those with them than those against them. There are more those with them than those with others. We should know that. We should know that the army of God are on our side. And the mountain, you know, the eyes of the servant was open, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And I'm not going to go into the detail, but it was complete victory. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's time to stop whining and complaining and afraid of what's going on in the world. We know the time we are in, and we have to welcome the coming back of Jesus that is going to be soon. But we have to get ready. It's not just a question of time of complacency, time to play around, time to see things from the way of the world or participate in the things of the world. It's a time, as Haggai said, or showed us, that God may be the center of our life, so that we may be guided and ruled by His principles. Well, the verse 23 of Hebrew that we just were reading, verse 22, says, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. See, you are not, if you are born again, you are registered in heaven. You know, you have a record up there. Your citizenship is there, not here. To God, the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect. See, that's the way we become acceptable and perfect to God, by our faith in what Jesus did. And to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, they speak better things than that of Abel. I mean, the better things of the covenants before, the better things that are ours today. And we should experience as we open ourselves up to the reality. You know, it is not philosophical thing, Christianity. Unfortunately, far too often, it becomes just a theological argument or a theological statement, when instead it's a reality that we have to start living in our hearts and our spirit, that supersede all our thinking and philosophies and manifest itself in power, in strength, and in victory in our life. Just like the Egyptians were afraid of Israel, when they let them go, people should be afraid of us, because they know that the power of God is with us. The fear of God should be in them, to bring them to their knees and to ask for forgiveness of darkness. This is what Jesus came for. This is what expects us to do. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Hallelujah. See, it doesn't stop there. If you know, just in Hebrew, just that little section of the book of Hebrew says so much that applies today. And I'm going to continue here. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse Him who speak. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, how much more shall they not escape and turn away from He who speak from heaven? See, God's speaking to us. He's not just a man. If you are a born-again believer, God has to be speaking to your heart. God has to be bringing to your attention what is going on. And not just dismiss it. Oh, I'm not afraid. No, you have to realize that you are part of this time. And you have to take your role and your function in this time we are in. Let me continue here. Was voice speaking from heaven? Was voice then shook the earth? But now He has promised that yet once more that indicates the removal of those things. I mean, yet once more, it's exactly the same way as Haggai said. See, he's quoting from Haggai. Yes, so you're applying that then and today. Yet once more indicates the removal of those things which that are being shaken as to the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. See, we are talking about the global shaking. Nations, government, economy, world economy, organization, institution, even the church, denominations, family, everything is shaken this day. God shaking is not the world. The world tries to destroy those things, but God is allowing it. There must be a reason. It must be that these things are not the way he wants them to be, and they need to be changed. Evidently they do. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. You know, you cannot have grace without fear, without faith. So the things that Jesus said, you know, when I come back, will I find faith in the world? Well, if you have faith, you are going to have the ability to receive what God wants to give you. Otherwise, forget it. So let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. See, this is the image of God as a consuming fire. See, what the fire does, burns stuff that can be burned. There are things that fire cannot burn. Things that are strong, stable, and unchangeable. Things that are the way God wants them. See, there is a purpose in the shaking. The purpose in the shaking is to remove everything the man built so that may remain, as I said before, the things that cannot be shaken, because they were the one that God put there in place. Couple of scripture here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I preached about this just I think last week or week before. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The implication is, you know, that it's not going to be overcome, but, you know, it's going to be able to break through or to break the resistance of the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, expand on that. Says that he, Jesus, may present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, the purpose of this shaking that we are experiencing is not for the world. It's to wake up, maybe the world. But it's really, above all, it's for the church. To prepare the church so that she may be a church without spot and wrinkle, so that she may be acceptable. A glorious church. There is some work to do yet. We have to be open to the Spirit of God. We had to respond to this shaking that's taking place, and we had to take action. You know, in Romans chapter 11, verse 5 says, even so, at the present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You know, again, works by faith. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But it is of works, but if it's of works, it is no longer of grace. Otherwise the work will no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, even that they should not see and hear, that they should not hear to this very day. See, there is a parallel again between Israel and the church. God always works by parallel. And so we are dealing now today with the same thing. As the church today being like Israel when Jesus came the first time? Or is waking up, realizing what's taking place? See, there is a transition. There was a transition of time when the time of the Old Testament, of Israel, the church was being formed and was created, and Israel was passing out. That transition established from the time in which they were at the center of God's plan, the church became at the center of God's plan, which is called the time of the Gentile. We are getting close to the end of the time of the Gentile, and we are going to see a change again. As the two become one, as God planned to do. But not for everybody that calls himself a Christian. Just the same way, not everybody that called himself Israel that was became, you know, the Israel of God of today's or the time of the Gentile. See, there's going to be exactly the same thing taking place, a remnant, as we were talking about, a remnant from the church that is going to be able to go to the transition and experience and be working within the plan of God. See, that's the time for the remnant not to be distracted. See, you watch TV, you watch any of the things today, and people say, try to escape from the situation. There is no escape from this. This is a world crisis. If you like it or not, a change is taking place that is not going to allow any more things to be the way they are. Because God is planning a change and is cleaning up the church. But all those who clean themselves up are going to experience what God has planned. See, is it going to pass? There is no way. There is no other way. It will not disappear. It will not just, time changes things. No, time does the only thing. Sometimes the change is final, and there is new dimension, new age, new era developing, and we are moving toward that. See, this is a way back call. This is people pay attention. Church, the world cannot even see it. Church, pay attention. Clean up the house. Repent of the things that are not following. See, the announcement I started with the seven churches in Revelation, you know, that's completely, we had to take that seriously. This is why God didn't let me continue on a different topic. He wanted me to make sure that I reinforce this, that I establish the ground on which you can stand solid, not being tossed around by every wind of doctrine, any idea that comes around, anything, you know, let's have fun, let's forget about the problems. You know, those problems are not going to go. All the changes that I was talking about before at the beginning had an impact. They changed everything. Some of that has to be modified. See, you cannot ignore the wake-up call. You cannot ignore what God is doing. It's time to press in. It's time for a breakthrough. It's time to know that this is a final call and that we had to move into God with God, and we had to take a position, and we are going to have victory. See, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, 16 says, if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. And this is not talking about, it's talking about going through difficult things because people oppose you because you're a believer. 1 Peter 4, 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Hello? And if it begins first, with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God be? Therefore, and that's the conclusion, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully in the grace that is to be brought to you as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the instruction that we get. Don't let your mind go with the thinking of the world. You had to better gird up the loins of your mind. Just get yourself together. Hallelujah. As obedient children, verse 14, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance. See, you know better. You focus on the right thing. Don't let be distracted. The distraction is the work of the enemy to keep you bound, to keep you complaining, to keep you following the world instead of allowing God to take you to your promised land. See, this is a call of holiness, call of righteousness, call of faith, call for obedience, call for dunamis, supernatural power manifested in you. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what makes the difference. This is what has to happen today to the church. This is the only church that is going to survive. This remnant cannot be this church that is not Spirit-filled with the power and the anointing and the ability that God gives us supernaturally. This is time to pray, time to work, time to shine. If you can, right now, just stand up, lift up your hands, and start praising the Lord. Instead of complaining, instead of looking at everything else, instead of being afraid, instead of being unsure, this is the time in which you have to be sure of where you stand. You have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You have to rejoice because He's coming back soon as a lion and going to defeat all the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. See, stir up the gifts within you. Just lift up your hand if you can speak in tongues. Start speaking in tongues because you need it. Because you need to empower yourself. You need to edify yourself according to what the Word says. In the love of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shenda karasaya shiasa. Upoko shirete ashama sanda. Hallelujah. Just let the Spirit of God quicken you because that's the only way that you are going to make it. Can be there sitting passive and overcome anything. Call upon the Father. Pray. But not just a little prayer, silent, you know, just to all, say what? You have to shake heavens. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Just let avail over the forces of darkness in the world today. Let us avail against all the confusion of the enemy spreading throughout the world. We have power, dynamis, to change our life, to change the life of those we come in contact with. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to close with this scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. Arise and shine. I mean, God is calling us today not to be there feeling sorry for ourselves, not to be there following all the trend that everybody says or doing what the TV or the other people say. We have victory today in the midst of the chaos that is around us. We have victory today because we are anchored in things that cannot be moved. The world can be going disappearing on beyond us or under us. It just doesn't make any difference. We stand on air. Praise the Lord. I mean, you had to praise God. Praise it to the point that you don't have a voice anymore. It says, for behold, the following verse, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. You want to see that happening to your life, or you want to feel sorry and go around defeated like everybody else? Because the way they are defeated today is nothing compared to what's coming. They think, oh, this is going to go. Well, if this is going to go, something much worse is going to come after. There is no way. The time is now. It says, the Gentiles, the people from the world, shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. I mean, that's pretty clear instruction. That's hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think we should have a glory fit right here, right now. God is expecting us to rise up and shine. You are not going to rise up and shine doing nothing. You're not going to rise up and shine to overcome by not doing something. You have to stand up, claim, profess, believe, act on what the word says. Be obedient. Clean up your house. There is no way to get closer to God without cleaning yourself up first. And we have to start the clean-up job if you want to continue on the second phase. The time is coming. God is calling a remnant out of all the other, and we're going to see it next week. Out of the world, out of the confusion, out of weakness, out of defeat, out of being loser, becoming winner. Hallelujah. Christianity has to do with overcoming. We are called to be overcomers. We are called to be the remnant that by ourselves we can conquer everything. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. I hope that you spend time reading some of the scripture that I read this week. That you spend time meditating on some of these thoughts, because I can't give you everything. I can just open the door for you to receive it. Go to the Word and see what the Word says. Go to the Word and see the parallel between the past and the present. Go to the Word and see the way God speaks to us today, the way he spoke at the time of Moses and the time later on when things happen at different time in history. There are patterns that God always uses. Just become aware of them. Use them. And learn to be obedient to his voice that is speaking to you today with a clear ring and a clear meaning of the things that you expect his church to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.